All right, if you would, grab your Bibles and open to Proverbs chapter 8 today. I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you ever heard this? Anybody ever said this to you? They're watching you do something, and then they go, you know there's a better way to do that, right? You ever heard that? Now, depending on who that is, sometimes you go, yeah, thanks for that, but I know that you don't know how to do it either. But some people, when they say that, you go, your ears perk up and you go, actually, show me, because I know you know how to do things, right? It's a better way to do that. Let me show you. I think about this. One of my sons is a pro at cutting our lawn, and he's learning how to do it more and more. And I was watching him weed eat, and he's weed eating, and all the debris is going into the flower beds, and you're just like, kind of stopped him and said, you know, there's a better way to do that, right? Like that weed eater always throws stuff to the one side. And so if you'll cut it where it throws all this junk into the yard instead of the flower bed, that's a better way to do that, right? And he said, oh, that's good. I'll start doing that. Or like the time when I was a kid and my mom came into the room where my sister had decided to take the iron and put it on the floor and put a towel over it. And when she said, what are you doing as smoke is coming up? And she said, I'm ironing. Well, there's a better way to do that, right? Because there's a nice iron mark in our carpet for years to come. Well, that's kind of what we got going on here, right? After three chapters of Solomon's, 5, 6, and 7, he's been warning us, his son, the dangers of giving in to sexual temptation or the temptation of our hearts in any area, right, that leads to brokenness and death. We're now going to hear Lady Wisdom cry out to us and say, you know what? There's a better way to do this. There's a better way to live. Let me show you. Okay. And so this morning, wherever you are in life, wherever you are dealing with, this is Ladies Wisdom's invitation this morning, God's invitation to you, right? Come and learn a better way to live right where you are, right where you are with God. Come and find Him, and then you get to experience His good life and His blessing. And so what do I mean by living a better way? Well, the passage this morning shows us, it's going to show us, that through Christ, the very wisdom of God, we can come out of all the brokenness that we have found ourselves in and begin to live in the ways that God intended. And he says it's way better. In fact, it'll bless your life. So the brokenness in your marriage doesn't have to be the end of the story, right? That's what Lady Wisdom is saying. There's a better way to live. That addiction, whatever it may be, alcohol, drugs, pornography, right? Whatever it is, doesn't have to be the end of your story. Lady Wisdom says, wait a second, there's a better way to live here. Last night I got a phone call from somebody I dearly love across the country who was very intoxicated, and they were lamenting to me all the things of their life, and they are just stuck. I said, there's a better way to live. Right? Like Jesus has a better way to live. Like, let's make some choices together here to get into a better place. And maybe you're here this morning just with spiritual confusion, right? This is some of us. You grew up believing one thing, and now God's been working on your heart and mind, showing you some things from His Word, showing you some things about Jesus, and it's getting a little confusing. And Lady Wisdom says, Jesus can cut through all that and show you a better way to live, right? We can get there. There's show you the way to salvation. So God is asking us, He's going to ask us through Lady Wisdom, do you actually want to hear the better way to live and take it in? That's the question for us. Like He knows, He's the designer of life. Are you willing to make the steps to step into a better way to live with Christ and be transformed? And will you be willing to see that God's wise way of living leads to blessing and favor and joy and life everlasting? I mean, this is what Lady Wisdom says. You know there's a better way to do that, right? Let me show you. And so let's look at what she has to say here in chapter 8. First thing she says to us is this, Proverbs 8, 1 through 21, is hear my call and accept it. Right? Hear and accept the call of Lady Wisdom. So here's Lady Wisdom's call to us this morning. Like we said, chapter 8 comes on the heels of chapter 7, 6 through 23, where Solomon there gave us this illustration, this story where he looked out of his window and he saw this simple youth that he says lacked sense, and this poor fellow passes by the house of a prostitute in the dim light of evening with her false words and her brazen affection and her promises of delights of the world and sex. His heart gives in to the temptation and he follows her to the death of his life. And it's a reminder that sin will lead to death and destruction every time. This is godly wisdom. Whatever the enemy may be saying in your mind about your sin, that he promises it may be good and you'll get out of it, it's not true. Solomon is showing us this. And now in response, Lady Wisdom comes onto the scene in Proverbs 8 and calls to us. And she's going to say, wait a second, right? Like, let's rewind the tape. It doesn't have to be this way. It reminds me, anybody remember VHS tapes? You always had to rewind them. And you were really bougie if you had the extra rewinder that went really fast. Did anybody have one of those? Yeah, you guys are too bougie for us today. But she says, look, simple guy, you know there's a better way to go about this. You don't have to go that way. Let me show you. And here's what she's going to say. Look at verse 1. Solomon says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? In other words, wait just one darn minute. There's a better way to live here. Don't you hear the call of wisdom that says this doesn't have to be your life goes? And then look at what she begins to say as she steps up to the mic. Verse 2. On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, besides the gates in front of town, at the entrance of the portals she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. Simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. So just like woman folly who's been carousing around the town, Lady Wisdom can be found in the city, and she sits on a similar street corner. She is in the marketplace. She's in the gathering places of the city, and she's saying, okay, simple guys, there's another way to go. Let's learn wisdom and prudence and get some sense. You can live well before God. In distinction from Lady Folly, who does her work in darkness and secretly with lies, Lady Wisdom is calling out in public, in light, and with truth. If you're walking in godliness, you have nothing to hide, right? This is something we see in Proverbs all the time. Godliness walks in the light. There's nothing to hide. It does everything out in the open. And her cry is, hey, simple guy, wise up. Let me show you a better way to live with the Lord. It's kind of like the old movie, hey, you guys. If you know that movie, blessings. But I love that the Bible is never mad at us for being simple-minded, okay? I want you to see this too, or not knowing what to do, but calls us rather to not stay there, okay? If you are simple, it says, then come to the one who is wise. You don't have to muster it up in yourself and receive good instruction to go in the right way. Lady Wisdom knows we have an infinite, eternal Creator God that knows all things. And when you don't know what to do, she says, look, come to the God who does, who has the wisdom that you don't have. In fact, this is always God's invitation. We've heard this verse before in this series, but James 1, 5, and 6 says, look, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to you. And let him ask in faith. In other words, God's invitation to you is, if you don't know what to do, then ask me, and I won't be mad about it. Like, I'm not mad that you don't know what to do. In fact, I know you don't know what to do. I know what to do, and I can teach you what to do. So come and ask, and I'll give it. And God's invitation to us this morning is to come to the Lord and ask for wisdom, and he will show you. So you might ask yourself this morning, what do I got going on in my life right now that I could use a good dose of God's wisdom. I mean, we all got something, right? I mean, think of what it is right now. What in your life do you go, man, I really wish I knew what to do here? God says, I got you, right? Like, I can help you out with that. Lady Wisdom's calling out. She's saying, look, trust me here. There's a better way to go about this. I can show you. Then whatever you have, it's better than whatever you learned growing up, whatever you've seen demonstrated to you by your parents and your relatives and your friend, and definitely better than the way the world teaches us to live through all the shows we watch. God says, I got something better, and it'll lead to life. And we have a choice, right? We can listen, we can learn, we begin to take steps in that way or not. And Lady Wisdom speaks about the nature of what she has to say. Look at verse 6. It says, look, hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare to her. That's a bold statement right there. We're going to look at that. I mean, I love her invitation to listen here to truth. Because she speaks what is good and right and truth. And listen, in a world full of baloney, my son bought Spam at the store yesterday, and I just go, I mean, this is our world, right? Like, it is full of baloney and spam and deception and stupidity. And Lady Wisdom says, man, come get a cool glass of water of truth, right? I can cut through all of it. It's kind of like for those of us that wear glasses. You know, when you have an old prescription and you're wearing them around, and you're like, I cannot see a dang thing. And then you get on a new pair of glasses and you're like, oh, okay, that's much better. This is Lady Wisdom, right? Like, I speak truth. Not all that junk you hear all the time. And I know what to do and I know when to do it to keep your life on a pathway to God's blessing and favor and life, and it is worth more than anything that the world has to offer. Okay, this is a bold claim, right? Verse 11, listen, I am better than anything you could desire. Now think about that. I can desire a lot of good things. Like, what is on your heart this morning? Like, what do you desire? What were you looking at on your phone saying, I want that this morning? What does it cost? How am I going to get it? She's saying, I am better and more satisfying than more money and more recreation time in the mountains. And that's pretty good. I like that one. More satisfying than a sexy relationship. And better than whatever you fill in the blank, whatever's on your heart and mind this morning. Wisdom is better. How can that be? How can wisdom be better? Well, because we often desire the thing, but wisdom is the manual on how to enjoy the thing. Think about that. You get her, you get the right to enjoyment of all things, because she knows how to rightly enjoy all things. She's saying, living in the way God designed life in Jesus is better than anything else you could imagine. And then she's saying, do you believe that? You ever tasted that kind of life? Right? Like, if you ever had that moment where you go, man, this walking with Jesus, and now we're doing this together, and it is awesome. Like, some of us say we believe it, but our life shows otherwise, right? Like, I don't really know if Jesus is better than all things. Some of us want to believe that, but we can't see past the temptations that are so alluring to our hearts. And if that is you this morning, Lady Wisdom says, hear me out, right? Like, there's a better way to live. If you will embrace me, you actually can enjoy all things because I am greater than all those things, and I'll show you how to enjoy them in God's ways as he designed them. And then we hear the virtues of Lady Wisdom here. Look at verse 12. She says, look, I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Now, lots of words here talking about wise living. Wisdom dwells with prudence. That's not just her roommate or friend, right? This is prudence means the ability to make good decisions through the use of reason, which wisdom informs. Because wisdom in Proverbs and wisdom literature in the Bible, it's not just knowing what to do, but it's knowing when in careful timing to apply what you know to do. So it's one part knowing what to do and the other part knowing when to do it. And prudence and wisdom go together in our decision making. And this is how wisdom begins to grow in our life. Look at verse 13. It says, she says, "The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of all evil and perverted speech I hate." Now, this is another step beyond what wisdom has told us before. From the very beginning of Proverbs, Proverbs 1:7, it says, look, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. And now godly wisdom takes us a step further, that the fear of the Lord would actually drive us when we see God for who He is, rightly for who He is. It drives us to holy lives, and encountering God transforms us, transforms our heart, and a byproduct of that transformation is that we would begin to hate the things that are contrary to God. And God says, the fear of the Lord brings about a hatred of all that is evil, because evil now, as a follower of Christ, as a devotee to the Lord, is the enemy of God. And as wisdom grows in our heart, we begin to see evil for what it is, our enemy. And listen, church, I think a healthy hatred of evil is something we need to regain a little more of. Like many of us like to play far too close to the fence with evil as it permeates our world. We're familiar with it. We're familiar with it. We know it. We're comfortable with it often. But as we see God more and more for who He is, we begin to shed light on those things that are not God and contrary to God. And as our heart grows in Jesus, it should revolt against those things. Our distaste and hatred for what is sin and evil should come out of our own personal encounter with the Lord, that we begin to align ourselves with God, as we've said. We see His holiness, we begin to reflect Him in our lives, and naturally there should be a distaste for the things that are not Him and contrary to Him. And that starts with hating sin in our own heart and life. Like, we often start with the other guy, but the gospel starts with us. I hate the sin in my heart, right? I hate it. And that drives me towards the Lord and to repentance and more of Jesus. And then it begins to go out from there. Should grow in distaste and hatred of sin into our world. I mean, what does this practically look like as a follower of Jesus? I was sitting with somebody this week and they're struggling over pornography addiction. And they said, you know, my coworkers, they get on break and they sit around on their phones and they all watch pornography, and it's so hard for me not to engage. Well, you ought to hate that as a Christian. Like, that ought to offend you, and you ought to stand up and say, I'm not doing it, and you guys knock it off around me. That is evil, right? And kind of go throughout your life and think about that. Looks like our lives becoming offended at all the things in the world trying to peddle evil to us and show us ways that are contrary to God. Like, even in our personal lives, we ought to be offended at what the world peddles to us and shows, right? Our shows that we like to watch, we ought to get offended at what the world's given to us and say, I'm not taking that in anymore. I'm a child of God. To grow in our holiness. And it looks like, and then we become like Lady Wisdom as we begin to hear more from the Lord, hear her crying out to a dying world, saying there's a better way to live. And then we even in our lives begin to say that to other people. Look, that is evil. There is a better way to live in Jesus that leads to way more blessing than you're experiencing. In fact, I think Jude 1:21 and 23 capture the heart of this. This is what Jude tells us. He says, look, like, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus that leads to eternal life, and then save others by snatching them out of the fire. Show mercy with fear, hating even the garment that is stained by the flesh. Man, hate the things that are contrary to God. But you can't do that unless you see who God for who he is, right? Our hearts won't go there till you see the glory of God and then you see what is not the glory of God. And it drives us to the foot of the cross in repentance in our own heart. And then we begin to stand up for Jesus and encourage others like Lady Wisdom to come into the salvation of Christ. Then Lady Wisdom continues. Look at verse 14. She says, look, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings rule and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. In other words, again, Lady Wisdom saying, look, if you need and want wisdom, then look for Lady Wisdom and she'll be found. Like, that's God's open invitation. You need wisdom? You can get it. And then God will enable you to live righteously. And it talks about kings ruling justly. The Bible has several great kings for us to look at, like King David and Solomon. This is what it looks like to rule with godly wisdom, right? And you can think of the best parts of their kingdom and the ways the people were blessed and God's purposes advanced because it was godly wisdom and righteousness and truth that they were leading with. And we also saw in their lives when they didn't lead that way, right? When David gave in to his temptation, when Solomon became overly burdensome in his leadership, when he gave in to temptation. But there's a way to lead, and we ought to pray for our leaders here in our city and in our state, in our country, that they would know Jesus and that they would rule with godly righteousness and justice. Now, here's the good part. Look at verse 18 here. Lady Wisdom tells us that if you'll embrace her, there is actually a great reward to be had. And this is always the part we like. Like, well, what's in it for me? Well, this, not only do you get good life, but wait, there's more. Here's what they say. Here's what she says. Look, verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Listen, I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, but those verses are in the Bible, right? Lady Wisdom says, you hang with me, you're going to be rich. And what's she talking about there? She's speaking here of blessing in life. She's using a financial metaphor to say, if you love wisdom, you love godly wisdom, you will be filled with enduring treasure and righteousness. You will be full. And surely if you conduct your finances even, right, practically, in a godly way, then you will reap the blessings in your finances. That's what he's saying too. But he's also saying if you conduct your life in godly ways, your life will be filled with godly blessing. Right? Everything you need. A good marriage. Kids that seek the Lord, hopefully. Provision. Ability to give and meet others' needs, a storehouse of joy in your heart, eternal life promised and held for you in Christ. Man, that's some financial riches right there, right? That is full. Now, this passage is going to take a little interesting turn here this morning. Lady Wisdom has been inviting us to live in a better way. She's shown us how, right? And she's going to show us why she knows best and is most qualified to lead us in a life with God. And it's going to be because she has been with God from the very beginning. In fact, before anything we know was created, she was there. And Solomon here is describing wisdom's pre-existence with God before all things. And what we're going to see is he's also picturing beforehand for us what Jesus would do and how he fulfills Lady Wisdom. So in other words, I want to stand up this morning, if you guys would, stand with me as we read these verses, because these are really great verses in the Bible that, as we'll see, speak about our Savior. So Proverbs 8, verses 22 through 31, hear the word of the Lord here. Wisdom continues. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his works, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. when there were no springs abounding with water, before the Wasatch Mountains, that was a little editorial addition, before the mountains, the Wasatch Mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he made the earth with its fields, or first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his commands, when he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord. All right, you guys can be seated. So here wisdom again wants to show us why she is most qualified to show us a better way to live. And this is what she says. She says, I existed before everything you know. I mean, that's her big point here. I existed before everything you know. Before God created the world, before God created the oceans, before God created the Wasatch Mountains, before he created the fields of Nebraska. He could have left that out, but that's okay. Before he did any of the works which we know him by, wisdom was there. She was there. That's what she's saying. Ages and ages before the world began, she was there. Think about that. This is a big claim. Like, let's contrast this for a second. You guys remember the story of Job, right? Job is kind of mad about things and maybe has a reason. And he wants an audience with God to just kind of like lay out like, God, this is really not cool. You have been hammering me, and I just need an audience with God so that I can tell him. And what's God's response? Job 38:4. God shows up. He says, all right, you want an audience? Here we go. Right? He says, stand up like a man, and I'm going to ask you some questions, Job. All right? Job stands up. First question, were you there when I created the world? Nope. Right? And God goes on to ask him a whole bunch of questions like that. Like, he's asking Job, like, man, do you really understand the order of anything? Like, can you understand my ways, Job? Because you really, in the scheme of things, you've only been here, like, really short. And you may not know what I'm doing. And Lady Wisdom says, but I do, because I was there. Think about that. That's a big claim. Proverbs 8:22-23, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. At the first of his acts of old, ages ago, I was set up. This speaks to the intimate relationship between wisdom and God. Wisdom is possessed by God. Not saying that, and here in chapter 8, it's not saying that wisdom, there was a time when wisdom did not exist, right? To be God is wise. It would take wisdom to create the world and its systems as it works. It's not as if God wasn't smart at some point, and then he said one day, you know, like, I think I should now make myself smart because I'm God, and so he created wisdom. It's not what it's saying. Proverbs 8 speaks of wisdom being brought forth, not speaking ontologically, meaning where wisdom comes from or its essential nature, but rather it's saying wisdom is preeminent. Wisdom is before all things you know, and has a close, intimate relationship with God from way before anything you know in this world. Might even say that before the creation of the world in ages past, wisdom was begotten by God. Right? That might remind you of John 3:16. Jesus was God's only begotten Son. And wisdom points out to us, if I am from antiquity, before everything you know in the created world, and I have an intimate relationship with God from that time, I might be most qualified to speak into your life about how it should work. I know how God set it up. You know, I think it's popular to want to connect with things from antiquity. And we do this in lots of things, whether you like old paintings, or you like old practices, or you like old traditions, because we kind of think like people of the past knew better than we did, and if we could you know, restore kind of what they do, then maybe we would know something more about this mystical universe and world that we live in. And Lady Wisdom is saying, if that's the road you're going down, I'm before everything. I know best, because I was there when he set it up. We see in the New Testament that the writers begin to show us that Jesus is actually the fulfillment of Lady Wisdom. Listen to this verse, John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In fact, this is the next claim Wisdom makes. Not only was she before everything we know, but she was also with God when he created everything we know. She says, when he made the heavens, I was there. When he made the oceans and the shore and the land, I was there. When he did all the works of the created order that we know and love, I, Wisdom, was there. In fact, it goes beyond that. Proverbs 8:30 says this, I was beside him like a master workman. And some translations give us a little something different. I was beside him constantly. The point being that Wisdom has an intimate connection with God and what he did in creation. Some scholars have even said, and I think this is a good way to think about it, that's why we get our translations, that you should think of Wisdom as the instrument by which God created the world. So God is wise, and it makes sense that God used Wisdom in his creation of the world to set up its systems and boundaries and the rules of operation. Proverbs 3:19, even back a couple chapters, said, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. And if wisdom was the instrument of God's creation, then she knows most intimately how things work. If you want to know how to live a godly way, then you most definitely need what God used to set up life itself. And again, I think you can hear the whispers, or maybe the shouts, of our New Testament writers showing us that Jesus is this fulfillment of Lady Wisdom. Colossians 1, 15 through 17, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then Solomon goes on in this passage to tell us about the delight of Lady Wisdom. Look at verses 30 and 31 again. I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him, always rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Now, scholars here are divided a little bit over if God delights in wisdom or wisdom delights in God based on the grammar, and I would say probably the answer is both. Actually, they mutually delight in each other. A beautiful picture of God delighting in what is right and good and knowledge and order as he is joyfully carrying out creation with wisdom. The Hebrew word here for delight has tones of having fun, dancing even, being merry, rejoicing, delighting. That wisdom was right beside God, delighting in who God is and what he's doing. As if he's God throws out another universe and he's dancing. God had God and wisdom creating together, enjoying one another, enjoying all of creation, and particularly, don't miss it, delighting in the creation of us. Think about that. Great picture to think about God the Father and God the Son dreaming up universes, creating the cosmos together with great joy, and then this poignant statement in verse 31 that God and wisdom not only delight in each other in the creation of the world, but also in us. That they were together delighting in the children of man. You can think of Narnia, right? Sons of Adam, that Aslan always says. Speaks to God's love for us, that you are created with God with great delight, and created to be loved by God and enjoy Him. Like, that's what God wants. And somebody needs to hear that today, right? Like, God delighted in creating you. And God made you to enjoy His love. That's what He's inviting you into. That's what Lady Wisdom is inviting you into. Come out of all the baloney, all the spam. Come into God's love, right? That's a dinner steak to be had. Really, the invitation of the Bible, come out of a fallen and confused world, come into the joy and love that have always been between the Father and Son, and into what you were created to be as you enjoy Christ. In fact, this is Jesus teaching in prayer in John 15, 11 and 17, 26. His prayer to God the Father is that we would come out of the world and experience full joy and full love in Him and the Father that they've enjoyed forever. That's God's invitation to you in Christ, right? Come and experience joy and love in its fullness beyond anything else you could have in the world. That's a good invitation. And then the New Testament writers let us know that Lady Wisdom is the very wisdom of God. It is Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Paul says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. There it is, right? This morning, if you want to heed Lady Wisdom's call in your life and accept her invitation to a better life, then you do that by accepting the very wisdom of God, Jesus, into your heart and life as Lord and Savior. That's it. This is the message of the Bible. The very wisdom of God, with God from eternity past, before all things that were created, and by whom all things were created, Jesus can transform your life, forgive you of sins, and lead you into abundant life and joy. We got to get a little more excited about that. You guys are like, okay. I can't say it any more excited. I'm not a very exciting guy. Like, come on. Right? Yeah, thank you. There we go. Okay, come on. Yeah, wake up a bit. Come on. Look, this is what Paul says. When we make Jesus Lord of our life, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, we are in Christ Jesus, because to us, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's the whole story of the gospel plugged right into wisdom. Who is Lady Wisdom? Who's Jesus? Jesus looks at us in the face of wisdom this morning and says, you know, there's a better way to live, right? Let me show you. Will you accept His call on your life this morning? Ben, you can come on up. You know, at the end of our passage today, Lady Wisdom gives us a final invitation. This is her invitation to what she's just said. Look at verses 32 through 36. This is where we'll end. She says, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. In other words, she's saying, look, don't be like the simple, senseless youth on his way to the door of death with the Lady Folly. Rather, there is a better way to live. If you will listen to my voice, and I'm calling out all over the place, Jesus is calling out by his Spirit all across this world, in churches across this world, through believers across this world, saying there is a better way to live. You can be saved. You can be set free from your sins. You can find new life and abundant life and joy with Jesus. But you got to listen. And you got to take some steps with me. And Jesus' invitation to you this morning is, wherever you are in life, whatever you're facing, he says, come walk in a better way. I can show you. I have life to offer to you. If you've never given your life to Christ this morning, I'd encourage you to do that this morning. You come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins and teach me to walk in new ways. And he'll do it. He'll transform your heart by the Spirit, begin to help you walk in new ways. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, maybe you've forgotten, right, in some ways, that walking with Jesus is better. Like hear Lady Wisdom's call this morning. Ask God this morning to give you wisdom in the things you need wisdom in. He'll do it. Don't be ashamed that you need wisdom. He stands ready to help you. He's not ashamed. He's not mad. And ask him to show you how much more valuable life in Christ is than anything else in this world. That's what Lady Wisdom said. And then again, step into the life Jesus has to offer. Find favor with God. Find blessing. Find enduring treasures for this life and beyond. And enjoy Jesus as you walk with him. Jesus says, you know there's a better way to do that, right? Let me show you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the goodness of your word that speaks to our hearts. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us to see the goodness of Christ and the wisdom that he is for us. He has wisdom about how to take care of our sins before you through his sacrifice on the cross. He makes us clean. He has wisdom for how to live rightly and enjoy life to the fullest. He has wisdom for our redemption. He has wisdom for the broken things of this world. Father, we just confess that this morning. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you this morning. I pray you give them the boldness to ask Jesus into their heart even right now. For those of us that do know you, would you restore to us the joy of our salvation? Help us to see the goodness of Christ. And then, Lord, help us to help others find that joy in Jesus. Lord, thank you for Proverbs 8. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.